tseng dumisang.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Tseng Dumisang, good afternoon. Welcome back. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Afternoon, my leader. How is everything?
Got a headache, but I'm fine. Thank you very much, Pastor. We're continuing with our daily focus on faith, and today we're talking about people who live faithless. And I understand it's almost a paradox to say everyone has faith and then say there are people who are living faithless. What does that mean, to live faithless, Pastor?
All right. I think what we must understand is that in the beginning, when someone now accepts Jesus Christ in their lives, they develop this faith, they have this faith in this God, but it comes a point in time when they lose that faith. And that means now they no longer have that feeling of dependence upon this, the ultimate God whom they worship. So oftentimes it is caused by several things in one's life. It can be some sort of disappointment from a colleague or someone in church, like we are seeing maybe religious hypocrisies or unanswered prayers. That is how someone gets to lose their faith in God.
So define what faithless means. Does it mean you have lost faith in God? Is that what you're suggesting, that faithlessness is losing faith in God?
Yes, I'll say faithlessness is losing faith in God, because in order to lose faith, you must first have believed.
Okay, okay.
Or first have faith in God.
Okay.
So to lose that, it stems out of, like I was saying, it stems out of factors or experiences that one has along the journey of faith. So it comes to a point whereby now maybe someone is going through something, and as they are going through that process in life, or a sort of a breakup or headache or anything that they are going through in life, if now their answers are not answered the way they want them to be answered, or a loss of a loved one, you know, when you have prayed for your loved one not to sleep, now you have been praying to God and eventually they die. That's how sometimes when someone now they get to a point whereby they no longer have faith in this God.
So is it really possible to live without God? Is faithlessness and living without God the same thing?
No, God will always be there.
Yeah.
That's the one point that you must understand.
Mm.
Whether we believe in Him or not, He will always be there. Then the question there, what we must understand is that God will not impose Himself upon you who do not believe in Him. But you will see that He with His grace, He's always there, being able to shift around your life and help you wherever you are, wherever you have problems or where you are traveling. His grace is always with us. The problem is with us. We are the ones who will walk away from His loving grace, because in our life there is this small voice that always tells you, do not do this, do not go there. And that small still voice, the conscious one, it might be the Holy Spirit helping you to come in terms with what you are going through at that time. And oftentimes we don't listen to that voice. That's how we end up finding ourselves in problems and in trials. And then we say, God has deserted us. We must first now introspect and look where we are coming from. How did we get to this point whereby our answers are not answered, or our prayers are not answered? We are sick. We have lost a loved one. how did we get to that point?
So I'm trying to figure out, Pastor, how a loving father, even if his child walks away from him, would let that child get run over by a car. He's a loving father. You watch your son. Because your son is walking away from you and you see the car is coming, is God the kind of father that will let you get run over by a car and then say, I told you, why did you walk away from me? Is that what we're talking about here, Pastor? Because I would have assumed that faithlessness doesn't change God being a loving father.
Yes. And let's remember again that Satan is also in the picture. You know, like we are saying, a loving father will always be there for us. I can equip you with knowledge and gifts that you need for you to survive in this world. But it is how you use them that will determine your relationship with your father. So you'll find that even us, sometimes these are accidents that happen. We don't have control over them. It might be that, of our recklessness, we get into this accident. Or at the time whereby, you know, God has tried all means for you not to, like I was saying, sometimes there is this still voice. I don't know, maybe it is happens to me only, whereby I'm about to do something and there's this small voice in my head that says, do not do that. And I'll pause for a second and say, but I shouldn't be doing this. But because now I want to do that, I have deliberately taken a decision to do that, I am going against my conscience. And as I go against my consciousness, that is when now we are becoming deaf to hearing what God wants us to hear. Then we move away from him, even though he's always there. He will try to protect us and all that. But at the end of the day, even the devil, sometimes he will fight and try to, you know, harm God by harming us. So it is us who sometimes we get to run away from the presence of God, even though he's always there loving us. It is not that he does not care.
So even if we walk away, he'll still be a loving father, right?
He's still a loving father.
And a loving father would never allow his child to be bitten by a snake.
No, even if, you know what, like I'm saying, if you walk away, it is not that God will neglect you. Sometimes it comes to a point whereby, like I'm saying, you have walked far away from God to a point whereby even your conscience dies.
But there's no place too far away for his arm not to reach you, right?
There's no place too far. Yet again, like I'm saying, God will not impose himself upon us. So even
What do you mean by that, Pastor? What does it mean God will not impose himself on us? What does it mean?
I'm saying he will not force us to accept him and be in his loving grace.
What does he mean then when he says, I cause my son to rise on both the evil and the good, those who love me and those who hate me? Surely he has already imposed his grace and love and light on the evil and the good. He has not given anyone the choice to choose whether to receive his son and his reign. He causes his reign to fall on both the good and the evil. That is imposition, isn't it, Pastor?
No. What the text says, it says, I cause the sun to shine upon the good and the wicked.
Yes.
So
none of them, the good or the wicked, have chosen that sun or the rain. Those blessings that come have not been They've not been given a chance to choose those blessings. Those were imposed on them, haven't they?
That is not imposing.
Okay, what is it?
Because when you look at when I'm saying he does not impose himself on us or his principles on us.
Yeah.
Those are the things that, like the air that we breathe, those are the provisions that were set there in the beginning of time when creation was done.
Yeah.
And creation, it was a gift to us, all humanity, even the animals that liveth under all this creation that God has made.
Yeah. So that is something that was given to people without them choosing. Had they chosen not to be given the breath of life by God, they would have been able to have full choice. But now, it's either you accept the breath of life or you die. So that you are forced that way, Pastor, aren't you?
Then what you are saying is that even as being created,
yes,
it was a mistake to be created.
No, it was forced. It was not a mistake. It was forced. None of us chose to be born.
So even like we're saying, even our parents, you know, they gave birth to us.
Yes, even they didn't choose to be born.
And when they gave birth to us, they gave birth to us under the umbrella of, you know, as a family, of having a child whom they love.
And the child never chooses.
And
my point is, Pastor, the child never chooses there. Life is forced on the child. They are finding themselves thrust into a family they would never have chosen if they had the choice. Sometimes they are thrust into a world they would never have chosen if they were given a choice to choose. So birth, by definition, is a force on the person who is being born. No one chooses to be born. No one chooses to be born Muslim or Christian. No one chooses to be born in Iraq or South Africa. No one chooses to be born black or white. No one chooses to be born women or male. No, we don't make these choices about our birth. They are forced on us. We are forced to deal with the circumstances. And that's why some people choose not to. They try not to.
Yes. So now what we are seeing right now is that is this point. This is where now we are talking about living faithless. Because at the time when we are created or when we are born under this umbrella of love, protection, security, and everything that is good that God wanted us to live under. So it came now to a point whereby you and I had to make a decision, because you are born with the free will to choose for yourself. When you are born, there is that inclination for you to choose what is right and what is wrong. And in time, you believe in this God. Whether you are born in Iraq or you are not born, you are born in South Africa or you are born in Botswana, choice is something that you and I have that we must make on our own, that God does not make choices for us in terms of believing and having faith. So when it comes to losing faith now, we are saying whether we become evil or good, it is dependent upon us taking those decisions. We make those decisions voluntarily, not someone forcing us to make those decisions because of circumstances and experiences that we go through. We end up making those decisions not to have faith in this God, or we make decisions to start a war because we have lost faith in the system or faith in someone. We can take an example of us as a Christian a denomination. We have people who will backslide.
Yeah.
Some will apostatize. But even when they do that, because of how they have lost faith in the system, they tend to somehow make war against the system. But the system does not change because of our or one's unbelief. The system will always be there, focused on its principles and on its goal and its mission. Just like in God, God has created us, but he has given us the power of choice to believe or not to believe. And if we believe in him, he's able to provide whatever we need. And if we don't believe in him, he respects that decision for you, not for himself, but for you, because you have taken that decision deliberately, consciously, to say, I do not believe in this God.
Let's take a parable from Jesus. Jesus says, the good shepherd will leave the 99 and go look for the one. Right?
Yes.
He leaves 99 of his sheep who followed his voice to the safe homestead, and he leaves them there, and he goes to find the one that did not listen, that chose to walk away and stumble away. He chooses to go and look for the one that has made a choice to walk away. And when he finds it, he doesn't give it a choice. Do you want to come with me, O little lamb? No. He takes it back home. Choice or no choice? I'm curious there. Isn't the idea of living faithless a misnomer if we're going to be talking about a God who's going to come find us like lambs that are lost?
Like we are saying, you know, when something is lost, it means it belonged somewhere.
Yeah.
Yes. If you lose faith, it means you had believed before.
Yes.
So if you had believed before, and someone whom you have believed, let's say, like, for example, the parable, a shepherd has, let's say, 100 sheep. The 99 are in the flock. The one is out of the flock. And the same shepherd who has been taking care of the 100 sheep before the one gets lost, he takes this sheep and leaves them in the crow. And he takes a journey again to go and seek that one which was lost. So when he gets there, there are two options. Either the lamb will run towards the shepherd, or the lamb will run away from the shepherd. And for the shepherd to take the lamb back to the crow, it means the lamb had to run and look at the shepherd and see that this is where I belong. This is the man who has been there for me, and he has come to sort me out. So the lamb at that time had to make a decision to say, okay, it's either I run towards the shepherd or not.
Okay.
And in taking up the lamb, it is not forcing the lamb to come with it.
Yeah.
He has opened his arms. And after opening his arms, the lamb does, it goes to the shepherd. Okay. And the shepherd accepts the lamb.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know if you get the analogy there.
I hear you. I would love to extend it, but we're out of time. Thank you very much, Pastor. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Valida. Yes.
Don't just exist. Live. Live on AWR SID Media.